appreciate the Lord this morning, don't you? I remember a while back, all of our grandkids, all my cousins, my granddaddy's grandkids and all them, it's all of us are boys except for my sister. We've got one little girl, grandchild. And granddaddy would used to always take us out on a Saturday morning. All of us would come over there and we'd get in the back of his little S10 pickup truck and he'd drive it down there to the service station. And we'd get us, I'd get a Dr. Pepper and a Chicka Stick. What a Chicka Stick is. He'd let us get a drink and a nab or something to eat. And we'd always get in there and ride back home in the back of that pickup truck. And that was like the highlight of our week as little kids. And I remember there was a time or two that we'd get in there and we'd get to the store and we'd all get what we wanted. And about five or six of us jump in the back of that pickup again. And granddaddy go try to start that truck and that thing wouldn't start up. It wouldn't crank. He had a stick shift in it. You know what he told us boys to do? He said, I'm going to put my foot in on the clutch, and I want you boys to get behind this truck, and you push it with everything you've got. He said, and if you hear this thing when I pop this clutch, if it gets to going, you jump in as fast as you can because we're going home, youngins. Amen. I said all that just to say this. I'm going to need you to help me push a little bit this morning. Amen. I need you just to help me get in. I know it's a new face and, you know, a new family here. Amen. But you ain't got to worry about me preaching some strange off-the-wall doctrine or nothing like that. Let's just get in here and see what the Lord will have in store for us here this morning. Amen. If you got a need this morning, you're an important person in the house of the Lord. Amen. We preach a spring revival at a black church in Suffolk, Virginia every year. There's an old lady there who comes up. She's about 81 years old, and she sings the same song every time we go there. And she gets to wear, you know, got a white hat on, white skirt, white. You know how they do. And she gets to swaying back and forth. She sings that song. She says, come on in the room. Come on in the room. She said, Jesus is my doctor. And he writes out all of my prescriptions. He brings all of the medicine in the room. Amen. I tell you, no matter how different our needs are this morning, and you might be needing something different over here, and another sister needing something else different over here, if we can just let the Lord come by, amen, this morning, amen, I guarantee you He'll bring everything you need when He shows up in this house. Amen. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity here this morning. Amen. If you got your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of John, amen, chapter number 20. We'll go down in verse number 19. Book of John, chapter number 20, verse number 19. Everybody there, say amen. The Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Amen. That's all the scripture we're going to read here this morning. The Bible tells us right there, amen. It says then, and it gives us a lot of descriptive. It tells us it's the same day at the evening. It tells us it's the first day of the week. It tells us that the doors were shut. It tells us the disciples were there. It tells us the reason they were there is because they were afraid. And there it says, right behind there, for the fear of the Jews, it says, comma, came Jesus. Amen. Lord be my help. That's what I want to preach to us on here this morning. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. Stretch your hands this way this morning one more time, if you will, and I ask you to ask the Lord to anoint me here this morning to preach His Word. Oh, God, we love You, Lord. We thank You and we praise You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy, all that You are to us. I ask You, God, here this morning, Lord, to touch me in my feeble attempt of preaching this morning. Lord, let me say nothing more, nothing less than what You'd have me to say. God, and anoint me, God, I pray, not for any vain motive of my own, Lord, but for the sake of those in this congregation, give us a good season of prayer around these altars here this morning. We'll be faithful to give You the praise for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. We find here in the reading of God's Word, very familiar scripture reading to those of us been serving the Lord for any length of time now. Amen. We find here, if we go just a little bit before, amen, verses of scripture, what we read here this morning, go a couple of chapters before that, And we'll find where Jesus, amen, had gotten himself there. Amen. A mock trial had came his way. And we read how, amen, they began to ridicule him. They smote him there. And they began to pull out his beard. They blindfolded him, the Bible said. Amen. And hit him there in the head and said, prophesy unto us. Which one of us had just hit you? Amen. We'll read how they got a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And they got an old weak reed and placed it there in the Savior's hand. And they began to bow down there before the Lord and to mock worship there. Amen. In front of our Savior. We'll go to read on some more. Read how they got the cat of nine tails. And the cat of nine tails is a whip that they would braid together. Amen. And then have pieces of bone. Amen. And pieces of glass and rocks there, amen, inside of that whip, that when they would whip an individual there, amen, that when that whip would wrap around them, and that pull that whip back, that it actually fillet the meat, and the meat there, amen, off of that individual's body, amen. We'll read there how the Lord, after all that he's went through, and bear with me just a little bit as I lay, I'm trying to lay a foundation this morning, amen, but we'll read there as the Lord, and then that he made his way there up Calvary, amen, so that we can be saved. Can you say amen? And we read as they laid him there on that cross, amen, and they placed his hands there on the side of the arms of that cross and nailed him there. And we know as they began to lift him up and drop him there inside of that hole, and I can see as his body, amen, began to fall there beneath the weight, amen, of his own body, amen, and being nailed there and crucified to that tree. And no doubt those disciples were there and they saw as their Savior had been crucified. We fast forward just a little bit. Amen. And we find them there in verse number 19 here this morning. And then no doubt they saw him as he was whipped. They saw the Lord as he was crucified. Amen. And the Bible says they locked themselves away. Amen. For fear of the Jews. For no doubt they thought if they said, if I say that I'm one of his, they're going to do the same thing to me as I saw him do to them. Amen. And fear began to grab a hold of those men. Amen. And it locked them away there inside of that room. It was more than a door being closed. It was more than a padlock being there on that door. Amen. But fear had locked them away inside of that room. And they felt like they could not do, amen, what the Lord had asked them to do. Can you say amen to me, somebody? Amen. But can I tell you something? Amen. Everything changed in verse number 19. Amen. The situation was still the same. Amen. They were still up under persecution. Amen. But everything changed in verse number 19 when the Bible says that Jesus came. Amen. Inside of that room where they were at. And though the situation was still the same, the way they looked at that situation was a lot different. Come on here now. Amen. I'm not a big fan. Amen. Of music there. Amen. Of going to singings and things like that. Amen. But years ago, they had a group. Amen. Probably still singing now for all I know. The McCameys. They'd sing that song. Amen. And Peg would sing that song. And she'd say, sometimes he calms the storm. And sometimes he calms me. Sometimes the storm still rages on. Amen. But I feel the sweetest peace. Come on here now. Amen. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when the Lord comes by in the situations that we're in our life, he doesn't change the circumstances around us. He didn't change the circumstances there for the disciples. They were still under persecution. They were still, amen, there ready to be God. Amen. But the Lord came by and changed them inside of what they were going through. Everything changed when the Lord came by. Somebody say praise the Lord this morning. I got to reading a while back. Amen. That woman there with the issue of blood. We all know the story. Bible says she had suffered there at the hands of the physicians. Amen. 12 long years she suffered with this issue of blood. Amen. And the Bible says she suffered at the hands of the physicians. Meaning that some of the problems she was going through, amen, wasn't because of anything she's done on her own, but because men did it to her.
doctors did it to her. That's some of where her suffering came from. Amen. We read, no doubt. Amen. The Bible said she spent all that she had. Amen. But instead of getting any better, things grew worse and worse and worse. Amen. I can see her there. Amen. Said that she had spent all that she had. Amen. Isn't it amazing after all of these years in time from the Bible right up into now? Amen. That doctors ain't changed one bit. Amen. Since then to now. They never lift up their hands and say, you know what, Mr. Jenkins, we've done all we know to do until they get my last red cent. Smile at me, somebody. And then until they get my last little bit of money, then they'll throw up their hands and said, I've done all I know to do. And that's where we find this woman. Amen. In the Word of God, the Bible says she spent all and she grew worse and worse and worse. But what happened? And then she heard about a man that was coming to town where deaf ears had been unstopped. A little boy that was running around demon possessed. And the disciples couldn't do anything. Amen. And Jesus came by and delivered that boy. No doubt she heard about blinded eyes open, and it ain't never seen before. And she said, if I could just but touch, amen, the hem of his garment, then I know I will be made whole. Amen. She spent all she had. Everything got worse and worse, but everything changed when the Lord came by. Everything changed when Jesus showed up there in her life. We read about Jairus' daughter. Amen. Died there at 12 years old. Amen. Thinking they're fixing to have a funeral. But what happened? Then came Jesus. Amen. He's the only one who can get right and turn a funeral possession, amen, into a celebration. Can you shout amen, somebody? I got to thinking there the other day at one that was caught, amen, in the very act of adultery. She was caught in the act. She wasn't accused. She was guilty. She knew she was guilty. Amen. The law there, Moses says that they were to stone her. Amen. Because she was caught there in the act there of that disobedience. Amen. I can see as the religious people of her day, amen, came up to where she was. Amen. It's just my imagination right here. Don't fall out with me, Brother Brian, 101 right here. Amen. But I got to thinking about it. I could picture her down on her hands and her knees on that dusty path. Amen. I could see her tears running down her face. She knows she's fixing to die. Religious people all around her trying to find stones, getting ready to execute her. Amen. Those tears running down. Amen. And dropping on that dusty road. No doubt the fingerprints of 1,000 men were all over that woman's body. She knew she was guilty. I can see her as she's on her hands and knees and she's clenched up real tight and she's waiting for the first rock. She's waiting for the first blow. She's waiting to open up her eyes, amen, and lift up her eyes in hell for the sin that she's committed, waiting there for the first stone to be thrown. But what happened? Then came Jesus. The Lord came by, amen, wrote her a love letter in the sand, amen, and told her to go and to sin no more. I tell you, the Lord has a way when we truly allow him to make contact with our soul. Amen, that he will change our lives forever. Amen. I tell you, friend, regardless of the situation, those words change everything. Regardless if there's an economic downfall or a great depression or we go into another recession. And then regardless if there's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House, smile at me, somebody. And then those words still change everything. Then came Jesus. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, darkness has to flee. When Jesus comes, chains are broken. When Jesus comes, he can take a loose walking prostitute and turn her into a sanctified woman of God. When the Lord comes by, he can take the most vile, most sinner man there is and turn him into a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just when we allow him to make contact in our lives. We can say here this morning, you know what we need? We need the Lord to come by. We need the Lord to come by. God to talk to us. Speak to our hearts. bring up some things there in our lives. Amen. When we can draw closer. Can you say amen, somebody? And we can have the mindset this morning, well, it's just another Sunday morning service, and we're going to be out of here in a little bit. Or we can make up in our mind, amen, that we're going to worship and we're going to tarry and we're going to seek God until the presence of the Lord comes by. And every one of us that leaves this house today, amen, can leave a changed man, or woman, or a young person in the house of the Lord, if we'll just allow the Lord to come in contact with us. Come on, I've seen folks before. I mean, now we know the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Man, I've been in a lot of churches before, and you really don't feel liberty, amen, to preach. Come on here now. Amen. But if the Lord comes by, He'll send the Spirit of liberty there. I love it. I love it, man. I told you, we're poor folks. We're country folks. Amen. I love it sometimes. I get real nervous. We go to kind of churches that are ritzy, I guess you could say that, if that's a word y'all use around here. And then we get to go into places like that, and Lord opens up a door for us to preach there. Sometimes I feel real uncomfortable. Amen. But I remember there are times, amen, that all of a sudden the atmosphere changed. And the Holy Ghost to come inside that place. And all of a sudden when the Lord comes by, it lets us all on the same level. It doesn't matter how much money we've got. It doesn't matter what kind of background or heritage that we got. But when the Lord comes by, it puts us all on the same level of us all needing the same thing. And it is more of Him. Can you say amen? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. There's freedom. Come on here now. I remember, amen, I got to reading a while back, and I don't know, we might have some great theologians in the house here this morning for all I know. Amen. But maybe you say, you know what, Brother Brian, the Bible says the Lord is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere all the time. So if He's everywhere all the time, then we really don't need to invite Him into the service because He's already here. Come on here. Remember those old timers used to say, let's invite the presence of the Lord in the service. Amen. I believe we need to do that. Amen. Maybe some folks say, well, we don't need to because He's omnipresent. He's already here, Brother Brian. Amen. Can I tell you, I looked up the word invite the other day. Amen. And it wasn't in a Bible dictionary or a commentary. Just plain old everyday Webster. And Webster says when you invite somebody, that you don't ask them just to come where you're at. But Webster said when you invite somebody, that you're asking them to take part in what you're doing. Amen. So you know what that means? When we say, God, we invite you into this worship service this morning. We're saying, God, I want you to take part in this service this morning. We invite you into the singing. We invite you into the altar service. We invite you into the preaching and into the worship. Because, Lord, we want you to take part in what we're doing here this morning. Come on here now. Hallelujah. I got to thinking a while back, I got to talking to your pastor the other night. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, me and my wife, I said, we're first generation holiness. I said, I don't know what it's like to sleep under a pew. Amen. While mama shouts her hair down over top of me. I got saved when I was 19 years old. My wife got saved when she was 18. Just before she went to college, she got saved. And her mother's saved now, but her mom got saved 6 years after what she did. Amen. And we got into this thing. We got into holiness. We didn't know nothing about it at all. Amen. But can I tell you something? The Lord came by and He changed our lives. Amen. Can I tell you something? We're living in a world of people that need help. Need help. Don't fall out with me right here. Amen. I understand that we go through things and we have situations and things that we face. Amen. But there are people that are wrapped up and overdosing on prescription pain medicines. There are those that are running the nerve medicines and counselors and all these other things. And I'm not preaching against medicine here this morning. But what I am saying is you got to understand me, is they got a medicine for everything nowadays. They got a medicine to energize us and wake us up. Amen. They got to energize. They got a medicine to help us get to sleep at night. They got a medicine to help us. Amen. Concentrate and focus. They got a medicine. Amen. To get us going in the morning. And they got a medicine to calm our youngins down. Smile at me, somebody. They got a pill for everything now. Amen. But what we really need, amen, is the good, sweet power of the Holy Ghost to come by and dwell in us so strong. Amen. That He makes a difference there in our lives. More than what we need to go to the pharmacy. Amen. And have another refill. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But what we really need, amen, is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. When was the last time, amen, that we pulled up at an altar and were saying, God, I'm running low. God, I need another prescription filled. God of heaven, refill me this morning. In the house of the Lord, refill me, God. My sister-in-law got saved, Carrie, about a little over 2 years ago. Lord saved her. I'm telling you, she was out there in sin. She was one of them. She had a pill to make her go to sleep at night. Alarm clock woke her up in the morning. She had a pill to get her going. Amen. She got to the place in her life. Amen. I wouldn't want to say anything to embarrass her. Amen. But she had prescriptions that she got once a month. And there came times in her life that's supposed to last her the whole month. She'll take that whole amen bottle full there. Amen. Within that first week. And then the rest 3 weeks out of the month. Amen. She walked around like a zombie, zoned out all the time. I remember we were in a little church service. It was a little small church. It was Sunday night, Wednesday night. There was six people in that church. Six. I'm here now. Amen. The Lord came by. They got to preaching. Now I won't preach it that night. Another brother preaching. Amen. My sister-in-law was there that night. All of a sudden, after the whole service, it just seemed like nothing was really clicking, nothing was really going. Amen. But all of a sudden, right there at the end, amen, the preacher asked everybody to stand up. Amen. Get ready to pray. Amen. And conviction fell there on my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law, she's got oxygen. She carries a tank there with her. She grabbed that tank and she walked her way down there to that old altar. Six people there inside of that church. She prayed with no music. She prayed with no, come on here now. No, come on, let's go, that kind of stuff. Amen. But she prayed her way through the old time salvation. Come on here now. Amen. She sent out a text message just the other day, amen, to me and my wife and a couple other folks. And she said, tomorrow is the day of the Lord. She sent it out to us yesterday. She said, let's prepare ourselves tonight for what God has in store for us in the morning. Come on here now. I'm going to tell you why. She was able to do that because the Lord came by in a little church with just a handful of folks, and the Holy Ghost smote her heart, and she fell under conviction and prayed her way through the old time salvation. She's a different woman this morning than what she was 2 years ago. Why? Because Jesus came and contacted her life. I remember. Give me just a little bit more time. I ain't going to hold you long. And I'll be honest with you. I don't tell this everywhere I go. We've been evangelizing about a year and a half, and I probably said this maybe twice. I remember when I got saved. I was 19 years old. I got saved in all places, a charismatic church. There's a little town called Woodland. Amen. Somehow or another, that charismatic church had gotten a holiness evangelist to come through and preach their revival. And at the first part, I mean, everybody's getting in. It's going good. He hit another gear about third day there. Amen. And things started changing. Come on here now. He started preaching some things about laying down the world. Amen. And folks who thought they were saved and they won't save, and they knew, come on here now. And really, they knew deep down that they won't. They started getting upset about it. Amen. They got there to that place in that little bit of town that we lived in. Amen. Word got around that little town, and I heard about it. Amen. I came there to that church that night. I wasn't planning on getting saved. 19 years old, I came in. Amen. That charismatic church, just to hear what that crazy man had to say. Amen. Don't fall out with me now. Came in that church that night. Y'all might not want me to preach tonight if I tell you this. I don't tell it. Came in that church that night. big baggy breeches on, tank top, tattoos, body piercings. I had blue hair, brother. Can you picture that? I had blue hair, body piercings, tattoos. I was one of them ones that when you walk by the car, you see a little old lady's locked the door. I was one of them. I came in that service there that night. Can I tell you something? I don't know what they sang. I couldn't tell you. Brother John Haley is the one who preached the service that night. I couldn't tell you what that man preached on. I couldn't tell you his text. I couldn't tell you his title. I couldn't tell you nothing. I didn't hear nothing. I was just there looking, around looking. And I remember that man of God stood up there and he said, "All right, we're fixing to make an altar." He said, "Everybody stand. Bow your head and close your eyes." I don't remember nothing. I just did it. I stood up. I done what the man said. Bowed my head and closed my eyes. And immediately, as soon as I did, it seemed like all of my sins were being shown to everybody. It just seemed like the weight of all of it, amen, got a hold of me. Amen. The Holy Ghost came by and convicted me. Come on here now. I couldn't tell you what he preached on. I couldn't tell you nothing about it. Amen. But I remember standing up at the back of that church feeling conviction for the very first time in my life. My heart beating fast. Seemed like every hair on end. Amen. I was about to break out in a cold sweat. I didn't know what was going on. Amen. Come on here now. And he asked us, said, "Anybody feels like they want to pray? Amen. And need to get saved? The altars are open. You need to come right now." Amen. I don't remember stepping out the pew. I don't remember. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember walking down the aisle. The next thing I remember, I was in the altar. Amen. And I was praying. And I was the only thing I could say. It wasn't no fancy words. I didn't have no great orated prayer when I asked God to save me. All I kept saying over and over is, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry." And you're going to tell you, in the midst of me saying that over and over again, the Lord came in and made a habitation, amen, inside of a 19-year-old punk blue-haired boy. Amen. Why was he able to do that? Because I opened up my heart. I said, "Lord, I'm sorry." But my heart was saying, "Jesus, come in." The Lord came by. Kept saying, "God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry." Can I tell you something though? I was sitting in that church there that night, and the only people who prayed with me was the preacher evangelist. Amen. That came by and preached that sermon. And I was in the altar here. He was behind me with his arm around me. And his little short, skinny, petite wife was sitting on the other side of the altar. Amen. Just sitting there talking. She's quoting scripture and her husband's praying. And there were people that did not want to pray with me because of the way that I looked. They didn't want to get in an altar with me because how I smelled. The reputation I had in that little town that everybody knows everybody's business. But God came by. Sent a man of God from about 2 hours away to preach a sermon there that night. Why? Because he knew that God said, "If I could just put my hands on him, if he'll just release himself and let me have him wholeheartedly, I believe there's something I can use in that young man." Could I tell you here this morning, if you're in this house and Jesus is not ruling and reigning wholly and totally over your life, amen, I encourage you here this morning that when we get right and open up these altars, amen, to plow your way down in an altar. And if all you can say is, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," open up your heart, amen, and let the Lord come in and reign in your life. Because I believe that there's a work that only you can do. There's people that only you can witness to. There are folks that you will come in contact with that you are going to be the only one that can make a difference there in their life. How many folks would go to hell if we don't obey the voice of the Lord when he comes by and speaks to our hearts? Come on here. When I got saved, now I remember I went home there that night. Amen. I still look the same. I left there, same clothes on. Hair still looking the same. I went there that night. Amen. I got down. I went and got ready to go to bed. I didn't know nothing. Nobody preached me no holiness sermon, told me how to live the way I was supposed to look. Amen. But I went home there that night. I had some buzz clippers at the house. My hair was blue. Ain't no way you can fix it. I buzzed all my hair that night. Got there. That next morning, I woke up. Amen. And I honestly, brother, it was almost like a dream. I thought I had dreamt it all. I reached up and I scratched my head. Want no hair there. Come on here now. Smile at me, somebody. I knew it wasn't no dream. I knew the Lord came. I made a contact. Come on here now. I woke up that morning. Amen. And things were different. Come on here. Situation same. Still things I had to deal with. Amen. But the way I looked at it, same way it did here with these disciples, their situation was the same, but their outlook on that situation was different. My situation was the same, but my outlook on life was a whole lot different, amen, than what it was. Come on here. One old man said years ago, he said, before I got saved, he said, I used to wake up on Monday morning with hangovers. He said, but now I can wake up on Monday morning with leftovers. Amen. How good God's been to me. Amen. There and touching and moving there in that service. Come on here now. I tell you here, how many of us know the Lord is right on time? I'm closing right here. He's right on time. I've heard folks say before in church that stand up and testify, and if you just add the words behind it, then came Jesus. You know that's the rest of the testimony. I've heard folks say, Brother Brian, I was about to give up. But they were there that morning. You know why they were there? Because then came Jesus and changed it. Come on here. I was about to pull my hair out. But then came Jesus. I was about to have a nervous breakdown. But then came Jesus. I felt like I couldn't go no further. But then came Jesus. I felt like nobody cared. But then came Jesus. My marriage was on the rocks. But then came Jesus. I felt like I couldn't go no more. I couldn't take it no longer. But then came Jesus. I was on my way to hell. But then came Jesus. Hallelujah. You stand with me all over this house here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and nobody looking around. Thank you, Lord. I tell you here this morning, no matter what your situation is, no matter what it is that you're going through, Jesus has got the prescription for your need this morning. Help me pray, church. If you're in this house this morning, nobody coming to you. I ain't going to come to you. I ain't going to grab your hand. I ain't going to pull you down to an altar. If the Holy Ghost can't move you, I know I can't. But if you're here this morning, you say, you know what? Brother Brian, there used to be a time that my relationship with God was a whole lot closer than what it is this morning. If that's you here this morning, you say, you know what? Brother Brian, when you and your wife pray this afternoon between services, would you remember me? Would you remember my family in prayer when you pray? If that's you this morning, could you just slip your hand up, put it right back down and say, that's me. Go, Lord bless you. God bless you. Lord bless you. How about it? Is there one here this morning that says, you know what, Brother Brian, I need a closer walk. There's some mistakes I made in my life. But I guarantee you here this morning, if you allow the Lord to come into your life, He'll change your outlook. And you can leave this house this morning a brand new man. A brand new woman. How about it here this morning? Will there be one in the house this morning? You say, you know what, Brother Brian, I need to pray. I need to talk to the Lord. I just need to pray this morning. Make sure things are right. If that's you, could you just slip out that pew where you're at and make your way down here to this altar? If you need to get by, just tap the person beside you. Say, excuse me. I just feel like I need to pray a little bit this morning. Anybody feel like that this morning? I know I ain't the only one. I know I ain't. But anybody feel this morning, I just need to pray. I just need to pray this morning. If that's you, won't you come this morning? Won't you make your way down here to this altar? You won't be by yourself. I tell you what, we'll make it just as easy as we know how. We're going to ask for everybody that would to gather around these altars and pray. And when everybody gets to come, just slip right on in with them. Blend right on in with the crowd. Nobody's got to know your business. That ain't what we're here to find out. But God wants to come in contact. All that would, while everybody's coming.